It is still spinning middle rain out here. The radio will turn down here in a minute. I was just turning on the highway 101 up here at White Hampton, heading towards the QTH. How's your day?
Pretty good. Just been hanging around the house all day. Raining ash today. Went out early this morning and went right down the road a little ways, tanked up the wife's car. The little picture of the gas pump was showing, was lighting up orange, and message coming up on the screen, do you want me to look for a gas station? No, I'm already looking for one. That's where I was.
The tip of the name, I had a buddy one time. We went to the Tulsa, Oklahoma Ham Fest years ago, and he was Italian, and he was cheap as a, tight as a bark on a tree. And he was driving, and I told him that I had a Conoco gas card, and I would pay for the gasoline. Honest to God, David, he spent 30 minutes driving around on the way back in Joplin, Missouri, trying to find a gas station that would save him about 2 cents. And I was paying for it. And that car started missing and was running out of gas before we ever pulled into that filling station. Now, that's too tight.
There was a guy in the family that complained about how much the steakhouse was charging, and he wasn't paying the bills. So you never know. It's just funny like that.
He's passed away now. His name was Ron Gennardi. And I don't mean to poke fun at him, but we always did anyways for being so tight. But he could reach in his back wallet and tell you what he'd give for a tank of gasoline a year ago on that same day.
Some people find it like that. But what you out and about doing this afternoon?
Well, I texted my daughter there earlier, and I said, for some reason, her son, my grandson, wanted to meet Bernice and I down at Harbor Freight. And she sent me back one of these GIFs, they call it, a moving picture of a big sucker.
So, something you picked up at Harbor Freight then.
I knew what he was doing. He was fishing. Oh, he's working an internship at an automobile dealer. And he wanted a new toolbox. And you might as well get him something because you're going to do that anyways. And I'd rather get him something that he'd use, you know, David, than just goof it off. And so he got him a pretty nice toolbox. It wasn't one of the $500 or $600 ones, thankfully, and because I wasn't going to go that high, but he got a real nice one, and a little thing that swings off the side of it to put stuff on, a little table. But of course, he wanted a black one, and they had every color but black. And so there you go. They had the color he wanted up there in front, but you know how it is. They'll never sell you the display item.
Yeah, a lot of times a display item, something's already been put together, and they don't want to put another one together.
I don't blame them for that, but you know, they had a red one down there, just down the aisle from that one they had in front of the store door. And they had several of them set up there. But she checked Spartanburg, and they said, yeah, they got four. I said, well, I'll go to Spartanburg. So she says, let me call them to be sure. And she called them up, and of course, they didn't have them. They was all pre-sales. So then she said, well, Easley's got them. I said, no, I'm not going to drive to Easley. I said, how many they got? And she said, they got 12. I said, that ain't fair. They ought to share. But that's the way it was, so he might not get it January 4th. But, you know, he's a big boy, and he was most willing to wait on it.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, anymore, I do a lot of my shopping online. Have them bring it here to the house.
Must do. Who wants to get out in this traffic? I used to, on Highway 101 here up by Cunningham Lake, I'd see 3, 4, 5, 6 cars all the way from Wade Hampton to Hull. And now they're backed up every day down here.
Yeah, there's a little area we go through, and they've put a little Walmart grocery store and a strip mall and several other things, and it didn't used to be very congested going through there, and now coming back through that area, coming home, it takes 10 minutes to get through that intersection anymore.
Stopped here at the end of my last transmission. There's probably 25 cars behind me. They do have this light time pretty good, I'll say. I wrote them a letter a couple years ago, and I told them my neighbor had a heart attack, and they got down to this intersection, and all they had was a stop sign, and it's a T intersection, so three ways. And I said, the ambulance had to turn around, go back up north, and cross over to Highway 14 in order to drive all the way back down to the big hospital in Greenville. And I said, in that time, he could have died. And I said, this isn't the first time that's happened. I said, you need to do something. Well, we don't have the funding for that. And I told him, I said, well, you know, you just built 400 houses, and they're all in the city of Greer up here. Why not use that tax money off of them 400 houses to pay for a stoplight? I didn't get any comments on that.
Comment?
Yep.
Yeah, hey, Tom. And this is Scott, W1JE. In California, when I was in real estate, you wanted a light put in an intersection. The only way California would do it, if somebody got killed. And until somebody was killed, they would not put a light in an intersection.
Logical and fair, doesn't it, Scott? Nice to hear you, Scott. You're about right. That's about down here, but I think it's got to be 8 or 10. It's got to be croaked before they do that. Go ahead, David.
One person getting killed isn't enough to get them put up a red light or a stop sign. It's got to be more than that. So anyway, the wife was asking me a few minutes ago what I wanted for supper, so I think I'll go in there and discuss that with her and see what we're going to decide on. Be careful out there on the road, and I'll catch you again sometime. KF4NXY, I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, David, nice to hear you, always is, and we'll catch you down the line. Yeah, Scott, I noticed, we've been here about almost 14 years now, and out there on Whitehorse Road, and there was one intersection, and I don't know the area that well, but I don't know how many civilians they had killed walking across the street before they even started to consider putting in a light.
Say that the city officials, they've got to have their political party money to campaign, so they can't spend all the money on services for whatever reason. But it just comes down to attrition. When finally the squeaky wheel gets loud enough, they'll do something about it.
Fortunate when it comes to traffic. Well, I wonder, down there at 14 and where you get on 85 down there at that big Quick Trip, I still can't see what all they're doing when I look at it at the local Fox stations right there beside it. And they have real good traffic of a morning. But I just wonder if that'll cure a lot of that. I know it's going to clear up the ponding on the highway. But oh my, I feel sorry for those people who have to go to work every day on that.
Construction at 14 and 85, is that what you said?
just past the GS, what is it, Pelham? No, it ain't Pelham. No, you're still on 14, honey. Anyways, it's just past the GSP airport. I don't know which one of us is right. Bernice says Pelham, but that ain't right, I don't think. Because you go down Buncombe, and then you get on 14, right? Okay. So anyways, you know what I mean. If you're going south and you get just past GSP, that big intersection there at the Viaduct.
Talking about. In fact, when we moved out here, GSP's off an on-ramp from the freeway was just a little dinky thing. I mean, it was small. You got in, you got off. It was really quick. We hadn't been here 6 months, and they started construction and redid that entire section of 85 to make it what it is today.
It's really nice in some ways. They got 11,000 foot runway there, and they built that mainly to get in the GE turbine parts and the BMW stuff, and that's a great asset for this community. But even since we've been here, that airport don't even resemble what it looked like when we first come here. It was the nicest, easiest airport in the world to get through. Now it's big.
It's big for Greenville standards, that's for sure. Yeah, we got there, the departure and arrival were the same door. I thought, wow, this is really small. And in fact, the first time we were here, we were listening to noise coming out of the trees. I had to ask the security guy, what's that noise? He goes, oh, those are frogs. I mean, dang. They were loud. But yeah, now it's completely different, and it's packed all the time. But you're right, I remember getting in and out of there a couple years after we moved here, and it was easy, no problem, see you later, walk in, walk to the gate. Now it's huge.
Got trams and that to take you from the parking lots now. See, I got congestive heart failure, and in the summertime, I went out there and parked my little Nissan truck one time. I never took the good car out there because they're parked so close together. And we was going back up to Kansas or someplace, maybe to Detroit, and to visit the daughter. And I about couldn't walk back to the airport. It was so darn far down there, and it was hot. And hot or cold doesn't go along with heart failure, let me tell you. But now I think they're running shuttles back and forth. And it's a beautiful airport. They've really done a nice job. Now they're got all the payment tore up and everything, and people's having to detour around to drop their folks off. But I don't know where they're going to expand to. They own a lot of property out there, but right there in front of the terminal. It's not too far out there till you get into the executive airport, and they build a new fire department there for the airport. So, well, I don't know where they go from this point.
They have the room, that's no doubt about that. I remember when they were doing the San Francisco International Airport, they completely redid the whole thing. And I was thinking, how are they going to fit all that in there? And my stepdad, who worked at the airport at the time, he says, as long as it stays away from the employee entrance and exit, I don't care what they do. But they made it really big. But one thing I want to ask is, Greenville an international airport? And if it is an international airport now, doesn't the runway have to be a certain size to accommodate larger aircraft coming from overseas?
This is N0TR. Scott, it's 11,000 feet, and that's more than adequate for anything out there. They land those Russian Antonovs out there, or used to pick up those GE parts and deliver the BMW parts. And it is international. I said hello to the Russians out there getting off of their Antonov one time, and that's one that is the largest aircraft in the world, except it was, I think, the middle-sized model of it, but it was bigger than a 747. And they can gross out 1,000,000 pounds. This is N0TR.
E for identification. Yeah, I've seen those Antonovs. They're huge. The biggest plane. I think there's only like two, well, I can't say for sure. I know that they had the largest one in Ukraine. And Russia destroyed it right off the bat. That was one of their first targets, I understand. But as far as large planes going in and out, at Antonov, yeah, it is a big plane.
It was in the Ukraine, I thought the Ukrainians destroyed it, but somebody did. Yeah, I saw pictures of it. Oh, it's massive. It's just, I think, a 28-man crew on it. And I just went up and said, Do svidaniya to the Russian guy, and that's about the height of my Russian. And German sprechen Sie Deutsch, that's about it. But the daughter, she speaks fluent German. But Russian's a hard language. But they had a huge crew. And that thing had kneeled down. It was an amazing aircraft. But the 747, I think some of them gross over 1 million pounds. And they got a freighter company out there now that goes in and out of there several flights a week that are the big 747-something-or-other-8s or whatever. So if they can land them, they can land anything, Scott. And I see a lot of Navy planes, the P-8 Poseidon that replaced the P-3. They land there, Scott, and I'm sure you're familiar with those. And the Air Force has come in there with some of their E-Land aircraft, too, at times. I've seen them go in and out. I think they come up from Charleston or down in that area.
Well, if they handle the planes, why not? I have to admit, though, when I do drive, when they're coming in and landing, going over 14, I guess it is, it's don't be too low. You hit the side of a hill. That was one of the things I didn't like about San Francisco. First time I'm landing there, I'm looking out the window. Man, that water got real, real close before the runway showed up. It was real nerve-wracking. Of course, it was normal, but being the first time, that was close.
Yeah, they land out on us like a T in the landing strips out there. There was an airliner that come in there, and I think he had it on the Autoland. It was a 777, and he landed it in the water. And another one, when I was stationed in California, up at Mountain View on the P-3s, there was a Japan Airlines come in there back in the 60s. And as we went across the Dumbarton Bridge, you could see where he would have landed out there. We didn't actually see the plane, but he landed on the water there. You can Google it. And he was on the approach to San Francisco, I'm sure. And they all got out and walked out on the wing and walked away from it. This was long before the old boy landed the one in the Potomac. Not the Potomac, New York.
Pilot's name was Sully, I think. Tom Hanks did a movie on him. Yeah, my fear of flying is landing. That's about it. There have been some. I've had a few rough landings, like bam, 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 and people are freaking out. I go, yeah, that's okay. But yeah, it's kind of scary. I don't mind the takeoff instead of landing. Anyway, I am pulling up into the driveway. This was my commute home. God, love it. I will be clear on your final. You be safe and enjoy. I'll talk to you later. W1JE.
Okay, Scott. Always nice to hear you. I haven't heard you in a long time. Yeah, when we landed at Wake Island in Midway, Wake was the shortest. I think it's 5,000-foot runway. But the P-3 had four 4,600 horsepower engines on it, so wasn't a problem. We just landed there to stay the night and refuel. But it looked like a rock when I first looked out the cockpit at it. It was very small. And I sat back there visiting with the guys because we were going overseas, and I didn't have my radar tilted down any, and I actually missed it. But until we were getting ready to land, I thought, where are we landing? And I got up away from the radar and walked up in the cockpit, and sure enough, there's a rock. But boy, it's beautiful. The water's turquoise is gorgeous. See you later, Scott. W1JE in 0TR is home, and I've got to go unlock the door. We're clear.
Hold on before you go, real quick. Read on MSN this morning, the Air Force is going around and starting to reclaim a bunch of World War II airstrips for deployment of dispersing our aircraft instead of being in one base in one location. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, one of them is Tinian, and several other ones that they're going to reoccupy. And Tinian's actually been taken over by the jungle, and that's where they launched the Enola Gay and Boxcar to fly to Nagasaki and Hiroshima. I was looking at pictures of it the other day on the satellite. I work Saipan, which is just across the water from it there on the radio. See you later, Scott, in 0GR clear.
W1JE clear.